we want to welcome you to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting merrittassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
Good Tuesday, Brevard County. I hope that you have good plans for today and that God will use you mightily. Someplace it's called Taco Tuesday, you know, and I don't normally schedule tacos on Tuesday, but any day that I have a taco is a good day. So whatever your Tuesday menu holds for you, I pray that it'll be a great day. So we're going to be in Hebrews chapter 13. We're going to continue with some things that that chapter tells us to remember. So that's where we're going to be. We're going to be starting in verse number 5, but we want to start out today, first of all, by saying thank you to Creative AC Solutions here in Central Brevard County, 759-3284, 759-3284. If they can be of any assistance to you, give them a holler, 759-3284. Tell them you heard about them on the Refresh radio broadcast. So we're going to be Hebrews chapter 13, verse number 5, and it says, "Let your conduct be without covetousness. Be content with such things as you have, for he himself has said, 'I will never leave you nor forsake you,' so we may boldly say, 'The Lord is my helper. I will not fear. What can man do to me?' Remember those who rule over you, who have spoken the word of God to you, whose faith follow, considering the outcome of their conduct. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Do not be carried about with various and strange doctrines, for it is good that the heart be established by grace, not with foods which have not profited those who have been occupied with them." So let's take a look at what the writer of Hebrews here says. He says, make sure that you that your life, that your conduct is not ruled by covetousness. He says, let your conduct be without covetousness. And so let me just remind you that thou shalt not covet is one of the Ten Commandments. So let's turn back to Exodus chapter 20. You'd also find it in Deuteronomy chapter 5. But let's turn back to Exodus chapter 20 and see what the Lord told Moses. He says, you shall not covet your neighbor's house. This is verse number 17. You shall not covet your neighbor's wife, nor his male servant, nor his female servant, nor his ox, nor his donkey, nor anything that is your neighbor's. Okay? And so this is just two verses after you shall not steal. And stealing would be the act that is culminated. Coveting would be the attitude of the heart that is developed that would result in either the stealing or the lying or the adultery or the murder. So this, you shall not covet, this is a guard your heart issue. This is a guard your heart issue. And isn't it kind of interesting that we are having to be instructed in the New Testament to make sure that covetousness does not take root in our heart? You see, God wants us to be a thankful people. He wants us to be a contented people. And we need to be thankful for all of the things that he has. I do not have to look to my neighbor for what he has to see what I can take from him in order to be happy in this life. In fact, it's going to have exactly the opposite effect. But if I will look to God, God will provide every good and perfect gift in his perfect timing. Now, we live in an instant gratification society. And so if you set something before your eye, which is the purpose of all of the advertisers, and, you know, we're just a few weeks away from the Super Bowl, and there was the national championship game, which unfortunately did not include the Oklahoma Sooners. And, you know, my team loses or does my team fails to win the Super Bowl more than it does win the Super Bowl. But they charge crazy, crazy amounts of money for a 30-second commercial. And there are people who run those commercials over and over and over again. They're spending literally millions of dollars to get their product before the eyes of the people who are watching that sporting event. You see, the more eyes that you can attract, the more bang for your buck that you're supposedly going to get. And what they are doing is they are trying to create a desire inside of you that once the game is over, you will either go online and begin to search for it, or you will make appointments and you will go search for it. You know, your life just is going to be radically improved if you are driving that brand new vehicle instead of your one-year-old vehicle. I mean, how could you possibly do that? Listen, when I was in high school, I drove a 1969 Corvair convertible. And when I went to my 20-year reunion, there were people that said, man, I remember you pushing that car out of the parking lot. It was a very low car, and our parking lot was submerged, and so you had to go up a ramp, and, you know, sometimes it was just too low. I had to decrease the weight in order to be able to get out of the parking lot. Was a very reliable car. It broke down every year. But people used to tease me about that vehicle. And I tell you what, I would love to have that vehicle now, because it is worth tens of thousands of dollars more than it was, than the price that I paid for it. Exponentially more than what I paid for it, because it's a collector's item. And I had that, and there were these people, man, they were driving all of these fancy new rides. Their parents had bought them like brand new cars and everything. And I looked at them one day and I said, you know, it doesn't take any special skill to be able to drive a fancy automobile. I said, but it takes a person of character to drive a vehicle of character. And I just refused to allow them to play in to that superficial image. A friend of mine was talking one time about there was a person riding in their vehicle, and as they looked, they were pointing out, and they're saying, now that over there, that looks like success, and this over here looks like success, and this over here looks like success. And when they were recounting this story to me, I said, you know, to me, what that looks like is debt. That's what it looks like to me. If you want those 60 or 72 or 84 easy installment payments, I want to let you know that's 5, 6, or 7 years of your life. And I can tell you, at the end of that period of time, that vehicle is not going to look nearly as nice as it does currently. Almost every vehicle ends up in the same place. And so please do not let your conduct as a Christian be governed by covetousness, because it is an empty lifestyle. It is an empty longing. He says, be content with such things as you have. Paul wrote in one of his epistles, he said, I have learned this secret to be content in whatever. I've learned how to abound, and I've learned how to be abased. I've learned to have a bunch, and I've learned how to have a little. And here's what I've learned. I'm content in whatever state that I'm in. And so we want to allow ourselves to have our contentment come not from the things that we are possessing, but from the one who possesses us. I'll say that again. We want our contentment not to come from the things that we possess, which are going to deteriorate and decay, but instead we want our contentment to come from the one who possesses us, who in just a few verses here we are going to read is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He's not going any place. So let your contentment, for he himself has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Last year in 2015, I have a couple of friends of mine, and during 2015, at some point in time, they both had the tools of their trade stolen from them. Different industries, different skill sets, all sorts of different things going on. But what happened was they both had their tools stolen from them. And so if you go back to Exodus and look, and it says you should not covet your neighbor's spouse. And so the word of God encourages us to keep the covenant, keep the bond that we have with the spouse of our youth. You know, make sure that you're faithful to pray for them and faithful to love them and faithful to serve them and lead them in Jesus Christ. And so you want to be faithful there. You should not be coveting your neighbor's employees. You shouldn't be coveting their house. You shouldn't be coveting their employees or their oxen or their tools. In other words, you need to look to God as the source. And here's what I have found, that God will bring he will bring to us the tools, the personnel that we need for the season that we are in. Did you know that you do not need harvesting equipment all year round? There's times that you need harvesting equipment. There's also times that you need planting equipment. I remember seeing something at one point in time, and it was talking about a neighborhood and keeping up with the Joneses, and everybody had to have a better lawnmower than the other person. And I remember another commercial of a guy riding on a mower talking about all of the superficial things that he had, the country club membership and the house and the car and the boat and the lawnmower and all of that. And he said, I am in debt up to my eyeballs. Would somebody please deliver me from myself? You know, he had gotten himself completely buried by this instantaneous gratification. You and I, as believers, we need to make sure that our conduct is one of contentment, not one of dissatisfaction. Nothing wrong with having nice things, but please do not make yourself a slave to those things. Remember, the borrower is servant to the lender. Why do you think they want us to be in so much debt? It's because they know that that's a bondage. It's not going to make life better. It's going to make life worse. So, if you can be debt-free, I encourage it as soon as possible. Merit Assembly of God, much of the ministry that we are enabled to do is because we have no debt. I'm telling you what, there are pastors that I am aware of that, you know, if there's an economic downturn, churches are, you know, subject to foreclosure just like other people are. And, you know, foreclosures on churches after, 2005, 2006, 2008, somewhere in there, all of a sudden churches had gotten themselves into the same trap that much of the rest of society had, and they ended up having really nice buildings that they paid for that belonged to other people because they could no longer service that. So, Jesus is the one that says, I will never leave you nor forsake you. So it says, as a result of that, we can say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear. What can man do to me? So remember that God is with you on your journey. He's not with you just during the good times. He is with you during the bad times. He is with you when no one else remembers you. He remembers you if you have failed in sexual sin, like we talked about on yesterday's broadcast. He will be there to forgive you and to restore you back to health. Now, let me look at verse number 7. It says, remember those who rule over you, who have spoken the word of God to you, whose faith follow, considering the outcome of their conduct. So we have a contrast here with the conduct of covetousness, which is going to be a discontent, and we've always got to be having something bigger and better and all of that sort of stuff. And then he's talking about the conduct of those in spiritual authority. what does their conduct result in? And it says specifically there, consider the outcome of their conduct. Consider the outcome of their conduct. So let's look at this. That person that cannot wait for the spouse that the Lord wants to bring them, and they end up in sexual sin. What does the outcome of that marriage or of that look like? I want to ask you to look, because I go to the end of the matter. I don't look to see what it looks like at the beginning of the process. I want to look at it as to what the end of the matter is going to look at. You see, God had asked us years ago that our ministry, the theme of our ministry, is about restoring value. Our theme of ministry at Merit Assembly of God is restoring value spiritually and relationally, that we love God, that we love people, we grow. Those are the things that we strive to accomplish. But we look to restore value. And it is not just a catchy little pithy phrase that we mention. It is the way that we look at everything. What does it look like now? But what will it look like when God gets done with it? So when my wife and I were enabled to buy our house, there were a lot of homes that were absolutely pristine. But the house that we, when we walked in it, and my wife had a dream. You know, I've told you, she was the woman of faith when it came to the house. We had been living at the church in about 600 square feet, and we'd been there for 7 years. That was about 6.5 years longer than we thought we would be there, and that's no joke. But we walked in, and she said, "This is the house that God showed me." The paint on the walls was the color that she had seen, and there room for ministry in the back of the house. It was there, and about the only thing that it didn't have on our wish list was a second car garage. And still to this day, we've got a one car garage, and I'm convinced that you know, if I'd had a second car garage, I'd just have more stuff, junk, filling that place up. And so when we walked in there, we did not look at it. It was a fixer upper. There were places of that house that were absolutely ugly. We did not look at the ugly. We looked at the potential. What can God do with this? And when we look at people, what can God do with this? And so we look at the outcome. What does the end of the matter look like? And so there was a person that I was talking to one time. They had been arrested. I'm not going to declare to you what they were arrested for. It was a long, long time ago. And so we were having this conversation. And during the conversation, I asked them, I said, "So how do you feel?" You know, this was a person who was a believer. I said, how do you feel after getting arrested?" And they said, "Oh, I feel fine." And I said, "Well, what do you think it did to your testimony to be arrested like that?" And they said, "Well, it made my testimony better." And I said, "Well, you'd have to explain that to me." And he said, "Well, now the people that I was in jail with, they know that you don't have to be perfect to be a Christian." And so I turned to him and I said, "Well, man, instead of doing what you had done, you should have done this, because if you think that made your if you think sinning made your testimony better, then you should have sinned to a greater degree, because think of how much greater that." And I was obviously using the gift of sarcasm. Because I look at the end of the matter. And the conduct that I am looking for the congregation at Merit Assembly of God to emulate is not the conduct of covetousness and being discontented. I want them instead to know that my conduct is according to the Word of God that God has blessed us with. That's what I want to be known for. I want to be known for loving God with all my heart, soul, and mind and strength. I want to be known for loving my wife. I want to be known for loving the Word. I want to be known for loving people and loving the work of the ministry. I want to be known for striving to do the best that I can. I want, so remember those who are over you. And if those who are over you do not preach the word. It says, who have spoken the word of God to you. If there is a person in authority over you, a spiritual authority over you, they need to be speaking the word of God to you. Listen, I'm not in here just to share humorous life stories. I'm here to share the word of God, because the word of God is what is quick and powerful. The word of God in Hebrews chapter 4, verse number 12. Listen, it says, for the word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit and of joints and marrow, and as a discerner and of the thoughts and intents of the heart. So when we are praying and people begin to mention that they have physical needs in the joints of their body, I say, God, would you send forth your word and heal them? And like you said in Psalm 107:20, and God, you said your word was quick and powerful. It was living, and it was able to penetrate into the joints and even to the marrow. God, I pray that your word of God would go places that our fingers can't go. And so I pray the word of God over them. Listen, we are going to, we always emphasize the word, but we are, our focus is specifically in 2016 from a ministry perspective is the word of God. The word of God is better than man's word. It is better than any philosophy. And so we want to proclaim the word of God. Remember those who rule over you, who have spoken the word of God to you. Now, I heard a preacher one time. He was preaching at a church. He preached on Sunday morning, and there was just a wonderful, wonderful presence of the Lord there, and the congregation was fully interacted. And so Sunday night, the speaker got up and he said, how many of you really enjoyed the moving of the Lord here this morning? And it was pretty unanimous. I mean, they'd come back on a Sunday night. And he said, okay, I have one question for you. What did I preach on this morning? What was the topic that I preached about? What did I share? And everybody suddenly got very, very silent, because even though they had had quite an experience, they could not remember the word. So I did something one time. I asked people who had been at Merit Assembly of God for a long, long time what their favorite message that I had preached was. And it was really interesting. You see, because there are some messages that God gave me that were life impacting for myself. And I share those periodically. But there was another one, and this man, he said it was a sermon series you preached out of Hebrews. It wasn't this one, but it was like, really? There are some people who remember some illustrated sermons that I did a long, long time ago. And so remember, and pastors, church leaders, we need to remember to speak the word of God. It is the word of God that makes the difference. Remember those who rule over you. So qualifications of the people who are in spiritual authority: one, speak the word of God, preach the word of God, love the word of God, live the word of God, teach the word of God, study the word of God. All of those things are very important. And then it says, whose faith follow. If we are going to be people of spiritual authority, we need to be men and women of faith. I don't want anybody in spiritual authority over me who is a pessimist. I'm not a pessimist. I am an optimist, because I'm a realistic optimist, because I've read the book and read where God is victorious. And so if I find my spirit beginning to be impacted by the news in a negative manner, I'll cut myself off from the news, because I'm looking for people who have faith. And so when we came to setting our budget for 2016, we had our board meeting here a few weeks ago, and I said, guys, this is what you had said, but I want you to know that when I looked at that and computed the numbers, we came out to a year of lesser degree than we had last year. And God had given us a year of victory, and we're very thankful for that. And I said, so would it be okay if we calculated and we believed God for just a little bit more? Now, and I'm thankful because they had no problems with that. I'm thankful because they believe God for even greater missions influence, and they're believing God for greater local influence. And so I'm very thankful. Now, we're going to be faithful stewards of God's word, but we are people of faith. I am here at Merit Assembly of God still believing for promises that were made two decades ago. There were people who spoke words, and I said, you know what? I'm believing for that, and I believe that it will become a reality. You see, as things begin to increase, if they increase a little bit at a time, at some point in time, it begins to not be addition, but it begins to be multiplication. And when that happens, I'm going to be there. You see, somebody asked me one time, they said, are you going to be content if the promises of God come to pass, but you're not the pastor here anymore? And I said, those promises are coming to pass, and I'm going to see them with my very own eye. And I know another pastor who said the same thing. And so I turned the question around them, and I said, well, what about you? What if the promises of God for this place are going to come to pass, but you're not going to be here? And they said, oh, you know what? I never thought about that. And I'll just tell you, you know, I love that person, but I'm still there. I'm still there because I'm going to believe promise. And it says, remember those who rule over you, who have spoken the word of God to you, whose faith follow, considering the outcome of their conduct. I want to ask you, which has the better outcome, a life of holiness or a life of sin? Which has a better outcome, a life of giving or a life of being selfish? Which has a better outcome, a life of faithfulness or a life of unfaithfulness? Which has a better outcome, a life lived for God or a life lived for yourself? He who tries to keep his life will lose it, but he who is willing to lose his life will find it. Father, I just pray right now. I pray, God, that our conduct as believers would be representative of your word. I pray today, God, that we would honor those in spiritual authority over us. Lord, that we would remember them who have spoken the word of God to us, remember those people of faith, and remember the outcome of their life. Have a great day. God bless you. We'll see you tomorrow right here on Refresh.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merit Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, meritassembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to meritassembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.
Looks like tonight the sky is heaven.